Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to episode 255 of Geek Town Radio. I'm back this week with...
You've added the crash noise in.
I thought it was appropriate this week. I was going to start off with a sort of... What, Bexy's trapped down a well again, lassie?
Oh, dear God, if only it wasn't a likely reason for why I was 10 minutes late today. I've not given myself any more concussions. You will be pleased to hear.
Yes, yes. Tell the listeners how you gave yourself a concussion in the first place.
I had finished my Twitch stream. It was sort of past midnight. We'd ran over a bit. I went to get ready for bed. I was watching Kim Justice's stream, who's another good retro streamer, and having a natter to them. I managed to get some makeup remover product in my eye, went to get a tissue to remove that, forgot the cupboard door was open, and stood up directly underneath a open, very, very solid cupboard door. And I know it's solid because I built it. And gave myself a rather neat concussion.
And it was a genuine concussion as well, which is impressive.
It was funny, a lot of people to start with thought I was joking. And then people started to clock I wasn't joking and kind of swapped from taking the mic to trying to get me to go to hospital. But it wasn't bad enough to need going to hospital. I was concussed.
Yes.
I had to lay down for some time. I laid down all the next morning and then my words were in the wrong order and stuff for a chunk of the stream I did the next day as well. But I could tell, like, I knew how I did it and I could tell how bad it was. And weirdly, I've given myself a concussion before.
Yeah, so what a shock.
I had a benchmark to compare it to. So it was fine. People found it vaguely amusing. People kept telling me it was different days of the week and that I hadn't eaten my lunch yet. And just generally, you know, we'll roll with it. But no, for anyone who has a concussion and they've not had one before, they don't know if it's serious or not, or if it was to the point where you were nearly throwing up or dizzy or had lasting symptoms, do go to A&E. But I knew that it was, you know, a fairly minor in the scale of things one, and just had a comedy hilarious consequences, apparently.
Yes, well, it's always like that with you.
It usually is.
No, it's okay, Flipper. Lassie told me. We've got her out the hole now.
You're digging yourself one quite neatly, though, so we'll see which of these animals rescues you by the end of the stream, shall we, mate? Shall we do that? So other than that...
Yes, what else have you been up to?
Running away from Fluffy and hiding in cupboards.
Right, yes, you've been doing your Alien Isolation stream again.
Yes, it turns out that the Saturday Scream streams are apparently my most popular ones, because as well as laughing at me for noily knocking myself out, watching me run away from... we've called the Xenomorph Fluffy for context. Watching me run away from Fluffy and sending me jump scares and things, which are so... They were so on it this week. The timing of the jump scares was... Oh my goodness, props to my viewers there, because they were waiting till I was just leaving, like just exiting one of the little cupboards in the game that you can hide in from the alien, yeah, or just sticking my head round a corner or something like that. They were on it with the timing of those jump scares.
Excellent. I'm so proud of those guys.
I ate a packet of biscuits for comfort, and we made some progress in the game, though. It's weird because I am very, very scared of the game, yeah, and there are bits where I'm critiquing, you know, I kind of swap between ending terrified, actually kind of vaguely enjoying bits of the game, to critiquing the design of the game and stuff, because there are some amazingly atmospheric bits and there's some other bits where I've spotted some flaws in the design or in the user interface and stuff like that, and I'm like going to like design critique mode. Then go back to screaming and running away in terror. So atmosphere wise they've done a very good job with that game.
Yeah, I have played it a little bit. I haven't played it all that much. I think I possibly got to that point where you kind of almost rage quit it last week, I ended up stop playing with it, but I have got a copy of it, so I may go back and mess around with it a bit more.
Yeah, apparently I'm on mission 7 of 19 or something, which sounds like a reject from Borg.
Yes,
but I've got a way to go, and I'm kind of now thinking, originally it was only supposed to be a one-off stream, now I'm thinking I'm going to finish it, and they've queued up, like my viewers have sent me Dead Space to follow it up with. So it's an ongoing thing now.
Yeah.
So I spend my time now, you know, the nice chatty daytime streams playing. We've been playing Story of Thor in the evening streams. Well, Beyond Oasis, it was called over in the States, which is an action RPG on the Mega Drive. That's nice. We like that. That's just got pixelated monsters in it that don't actually bite your head off when you don't even know they're there. And I also did a run through on Friday of Metal Slug X, which I've never played before. I don't know if you played. Do you play the Metal Slug games?
No, I don't think so.
They are run and gun games. They were out in the arcade. They're also all in the Neo Geo. I think they've been ported to various other things as well, but that was kind of where their primary home was. And I've never played them before. I obviously never had access to it. Neo Geo when that was released, because they cost an absolute fortune. You know, if you compare in 1990, the SNES cost £149, which is a lot of money.
Yeah.
The Game Gear cost £99. The Neo Geo then, this is not adjusting for inflation, okay? This is in 1990. The Neo Geo cost £650.
That's crazy.
So it was pretty much only particularly known in Japan as well.
Yeah.
It was not, you know, you'd have to be very, very rich and dedicated to have one of those over here. So yeah, and I wasn't big, you know, a bigger person in the arcades. We weren't able or afford to go to arcades, so I've never played the Metal Slug games, and they're amazing. Like, I know about them, I've seen little bits of them, but I've never actually played them before. And it was suggested by someone, challenged me on, because I do my Ant Stream streams on Friday, someone challenged me to do a challenge in it, which I lost immediately. And then I was like, I actually want to play this game, and the animation's amazing because it's still pixely, but it's updated pixely, and it's such a beautiful game. It's so funny, it's so chaotic. It is a quarter eating arcade game. I got through, and we just kept throwing quarters in it just to do a whole way through. But I think I'm gonna go back, because you have to learn the patterns, you have to learn what everything does in the game.
Right,
and it's so funny. It has a kind of plot, kind of, but it's very, very tongue-in-cheek, wonderfully animated, and incredible fun as well. They have that balance that even though I was having to throw a million quarters into it, and I need to go back and play it many, many more times to learn it. It's one of those games where I feel like it's going to get more fun the more I learn the patterns and learn what the things do. And I think that may be a thing that I end up doing now, as well as I want to go back and play more Streets of Rage 4, because I want to learn to play Cherry, because I only play Blaze.
Right.
And yeah, I can see both of those games going into the repeat play roster in the way games I played as a kid used to, which I think is really, really lovely, because with some modern games I've played them through and I kind of feel like I've played them, they're done.
Yeah, I think
so. They're kind of story ones, and yeah, this is just the pure fun and nonsense type of game, and they've both got a lot of replayability.
Yeah.
What have you been playing?
I obviously was playing Satisfactory for the longest time. I finally managed to kick that, although I have started on something else now, Anon 1800, which, are you aware of the Anon game? Games, these city builder, strategic city builder games.
They're like SimCity, but the next level, right?
Kind of, yeah. They're kind of city builders, but have a real-time strategy element to them as well. So they're this sort of interesting hybrid mix where you're building up your city and you have production chains. So if you want to build bricks, you've got to make sure you've got the clay, and then you've got to have somebody build the bricks out of them, and then you can use them to build bigger things. things. So, you know, I'm very much into those sort of strategy construction chain sort of things. The thing is, I got Anon 1800 because it's on the Epic Game Store. It was whilst they had their big sale on. So I bought it, and they had this thing where you got a £10 voucher, and every time you bought a game that was in the sale, they gave you the £10 voucher back. So it was sort of this continuous loop of you having this extra £10 to be able to spend on things.
Yeah, they got you there. They got you good.
So I bought the game because it was on a sale. I bought all the DLC as well, because why not? And there's like two seasons, or there's a season and a half out. I think there's still some more DLC coming out for it. The game itself is set at the start of 1800. It's the start of the sort of Industrial Revolution. So you start off with sailing ships, and it moves into like steamships and stuff, and you're on various islands, and you've got to set up these production chains because there are only certain resources on each of the different islands. So you might have furs on one island, you might have coffee on the other, and the population that you put down demands furs and coffee, so you've got to kind of ship them backwards and forwards and stuff. The DLC opens up additional areas, so you start off in the old world, and then you can go into the new world where you can get kind of sugar cane and that and cotton and that sort of stuff. The DLC also adds an Arctic area as well, and a couple of other areas. The thing is, the DLC is obviously designed for people who have played out most of the main game and then gone on and done the DLC. So when you start playing a game from scratch with the DLC installed, you're suddenly bombarded with like, oh, you can now open this area and then this area, and then you've got to build that up, and then you've got to build this other area up, and all the production chains kind of come together, but they're expecting you to have already built a sort of decent base in the main starting area in the first place. And when you haven't, it becomes this job of kind of plate spinning to try and make sure that you've got enough resources going in the kind of opening area to feed the other areas as well. So it's kind of slightly more frantic than you'd expect one of those games to be, because you end up jumping backwards and forwards between the old world and the new world and the Arctic, and I think there's a desert world coming up as well. So there's lots of different things, but it's really, really good fun. I'm really enjoying it, and it's another one of those where you just lose hours and hours and hours on these things. So
I can tell your cat's meowing in complaint in the background.
Yes, he is. He's being annoying.
It says, you've not fed me in a week. You've just been taking care of all the citizens in an imaginary game.
He has been.
Why are you spinning clocks? Why are you not spinning cat food bowls? That's what the cat's saying right there.
He has been fed downstairs. He's just been outside and now wants treats. That's what it is. So, yeah, I've been really enjoying playing that. That's been really good fun. That's really been the main game I've been playing. TV-wise, I'm kind of catching up with stuff right now. So I'm still working my way through The Outer Banks. I finished the Alex Rider series, which was a good, solid little show. It looks like it's going to get a second season, that as well, which I'm very happy about. If it does get a second season, because it was made without a broadcaster attached, and then they sold it to Amazon. So we don't know whether Sony's going to do the same thing again and just make it and then sell it to Amazon again, or whether Amazon will actually get on board as a partner this time around. But they've not officially announced that that is coming back, but it's looking extremely likely that it's going to. In terms of new things, one thing I did catch was there was a show on Channel 4 called The Great British Dig. For somebody who grew up on Time Team, do you remember Time Team? I love that show.
I do remember Time Team, yes.
I really love that show. It's Hugh Dennis that they've got as the presenter for this. I think it was a one-off, and there's a town where they knew that there was a Roman bathhouse underneath a bunch of these houses that they built, and they basically wanted to go back and see if there was anything surrounding that bathhouse. The problem is that they've built a bunch of houses on top of it now. So what they were doing was they were going to people's houses and knocking on doors and asking if they could dig up people's gardens for it. And it was lovely. I mean, it was a very British thing. And they found a few bits and pieces, and they got kind of a bigger idea of what the area was like. But I rather hope they do more of those, because I think that was just a one-off. But it's got that kind of Time Team feel to it, because they get kind of a week and it gets the local community involved as well, which I think is a nice angle with this. And I love those sort of shows. I love those kind of archaeology shows. And I really enjoyed that. I thought it was a great sort of throwback to the old kind of time team idea. So I hope they do a few more of those. But that was on Channel 4.
It would be nice to see more things that's kind of like the history generally around us.
Yeah, yeah.
In that kind of way. Like, it's kind of nice that they're not necessarily finding like new ginormous buildings out in the middle of nowhere. What they're doing is looking at just kind of the history that exists all around us on a day-to-day basis, because obviously, you know, everywhere where there are settlements and houses, there were probably settlements and houses before. Yeah. They're built in advantageous locations, so there is likely that there is history under loads of places where people have built houses again since. So that's kind of a cool idea, I think.
Yeah, I don't know whether that was just planned as a one-off, but certainly something I think they could make a series out of. I would love to see more of that. The other thing that I watched this week was Birds of Prey, or to give it its full title, Birds of Prey and the Fabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn.
Yes, which should basically be the title. Yes. Yeah, the first bit is definitely should be the subtitle.
Yeah, absolutely. It is very, very much a Harley Quinn movie. I rather enjoyed it. It's kind of silly. It's very cartoonish, which I think works with it being Harley Quinn. And I actually think they could have pushed it a bit further than they did.
They included slightly too many characters and wanted to do slightly too many different things. And if they'd made it more of just a Harley Quinn-centric movie and then it was kind of Harley and friends,
yeah,
I think that would have worked a lot better. One of the rumours that flew around originally were that they were going to make a Gotham City Sirens film,
yeah,
which I was all in favour of, because that's Harley, Ivy and Catwoman, their friendship and their sort of like, well, they're living together in the comics for that. But even right, if you wanted to just take that vague concept, because obviously they all have close ties to each other, and then you've got, you know, a lot of comic book material to dive into there, and you can go off in your own direction as you want with the exact plot. But you've got the big name characters to bring people in, because most people have heard of Catwoman and Poison Ivy. Instead, they went for a bunch of characters that your general mainstream audience may not have heard of, and for some random reason added a completely new character but gave them the name of a very yeah. existing established character, just to slightly frustrate people like me, because now we can never see Cassandra Cain as Batgirl in the DC movie universe, which I think is a massive shame, because she's an awesome Batgirl and has the coolest costume. They made some strange choices with it. I did enjoy it for a lot of it, but I think that it was a slightly strange production. It had some awesome choreography for the fight scenes and things like that. They were great fun, very cartoony and enjoyable, and there was some good bits of dialogue and things. Obviously I was frustrated by only one hyena, and the hyena being called Bruce. But yeah, it's one of those films where I don't regret watching it, but I probably won't be buying the Blu-ray, and there's some of my favourite characters in it, so
yeah,
I'm interested to see what they do next. Mm-hmm. I'd like them, if they're just making Harley Quinn movies, to just own the fact they're making Harley Quinn movies.
Yeah.
Also maybe if Harley Quinn could be less Tank Girl and more Harley Quinn, that would be cool.
Yeah,
it's got some really good fun parts in it. Definitely the choreography and the action scenes have got some nice bits and pieces, and I like the fact they had a whole action scene on roller skates and stuff like that, because why not?
Yeah.
You know, that ties into the new comics, which is nice.
And there's a bit when she goes into the police station and she's using the kind of glitter gun bag cannon thing that I thought was quite good as well. I thought that was quite fun and made for some quite nice visuals.
The wanted posters in the background of that scene are like other characters from Suicide and stuff as well, which is always funny when you start spotting all the little Easter eggs.
Yeah. So overall, I think it's fun, it's silly, enjoyable. If you are a fan of the comic books, there are going to be bits that annoy you, like the Cassandra Cain thing and other little bits like that. And I'm sort of with you. I don't know why they didn't go down the Gotham City Sirens route, which is sort of what they've done with the animated series, which is running on E4 at the moment, which is brilliant. And
I think it would have made a lot more money if you had posters up saying, we've got Catwoman, Ivy and Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
I think it would have just been a much easier sell. And if they're just going to focus mostly on Harley anyway, you wouldn't have needed to then try and introduce and explain and put all that exposition in and have a whole bunch of other characters. It's like they were sort of, I don't know, maybe they felt three characters weren't enough and they wanted it to be more Suicide Squad-y to just throw an extra handful in. I don't know. I think that there's potential in the series, but I don't think they've nailed it yet.
No, they do make some weird decisions with the movies, and it's weird how they managed to get it very right in animation, and you know the Arrowverse does a reasonable job, but the films they just panic and kind of go in an odd direction, and I don't get it. Speaking of not getting it and going in the wrong direction, the Snyder Cut of Justice League got a clip which he's sort of trying to correct the wrong direction that they went in with the Joss Whedon cut of Justice League, and this introduces a little tiny bit of Darkseid in the clip. This looks like it's going to be very interesting, I think.
Yeah, I never thought this was going to happen. This is a very unexpected and bold move.
Well, I think we have the coronavirus to thank for this, because I think HBO Max was looking for new interesting content to put out, and there's been such a cry for people to release the Snyder Cut, and HBO Max needed something that they could film fairly easily. And of course, most of the Snyder Cut is actually there. They've got a bunch of visual effects and things and a couple of pickup shots they need to do. But apart from that, most of it's done.
Though, I wonder if we'll get a decent Suicide Squad movie as well, because most of that was filmed.
Yeah, well, I think we'll probably have to see how well this goes out next year. Because, I mean, that's the thing, of course. We don't know whether this is going to be any good or not. It's just a lot of people assumed it's going to be better than the cut that was released, but we honestly don't know. So
it'll be fascinating for comparisons. And if they want people talking about their movies, every YouTuber worth their salt is going to do a massive comparison thing between the two versions. And I think it's very interesting because it's going to show a lot of people who might not be massively versed in film theory or know a huge amount about the impact of things to see the difference between two teams working on exactly the same thing with a lot of the same footage.
Yeah.
And I think that's something we never, ever get to see. You hear it so with so many movies and so many things where there was another version in the works or someone else had a different vision for it. And this is one of the few times where you're actually going to get to see what that all, you know, it's literally like they're making a multiverse out of their movies with the real life things that happen behind the scenes. And I'm incredibly fascinated. And I really didn't think they'd do it. So props to them there. They completely blindsided me with that plot twist.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see it. Like I say, I don't know whether it is going to be any better, but just out of pure interest, I want to see what that version of the film is like. We don't know exactly whether it is going to come out of a film either. It's going to be released on HBO Max next year. We don't know where it's going to be in the UK, although I strongly suspect it'll end up either on Sky Store or it will end up on HBO over here or something. But it's possible that they're actually going to split it up and turn it into a kind of series, split it into sort of six chunks or something. We'll have to wait and see exactly what they do with it. But it looks interesting. We are going to be getting some more clips of it, but not for a little bit, because the other thing sticking with Warner Brothers is they announced a thing this week called DC Fandome, which is basically an online comic con. They're describing it as a free global virtual fan experience is what they're describing it as, but they have really gone all out. It's basically, they're saying that they're going to be clips and stuff from the new Aquaman, the Batman, Batwoman, Black Adam. I suspect we may get an announcement of who the new Batwoman is at this. Black Lightning, DC Superhero Girls, Legends of Tomorrow, Stargirl, Doom Patrol, The Flash, Harley Quinn, the Snyder Cut's going to have some more bits, some announcements about Lucifer, Pennyworth, Shazam, Suicide Squad, Supergirl, Superman and Lois, Teen Titans Go, Titans. They're talking about maybe something about The Watchmen as well, which could be interesting. Wonder Woman, Young Justice Outsiders. So yeah, they're basically, it's an online convention that is going to have panels and stuff relating to all the current DC TV and film properties, which I think sounds like it's going to be awesome. And it's going to be up on dcfandome.com on Saturday, the 22nd of August for 24 hours. It will be up for. So they're expecting people to be glued to the website for 24 hours. And interestingly, what they're also doing is they are having local presenters. So it will be in native languages for non-English speaking places. So they're saying that it's going to be Brazilian, Portuguese, Chinese, English, French, German, Italian, Japanese, Korean, Spanish. They're going to do it in. Although it is a live stream, they will cut to segments for local areas for people to do things in their own language, which I think is a really nice and interesting idea and good way to do it. And it's got lots of different zones where you can sit and watch, fans can communicate with each other. There's a kids area. They're inviting people to send in fan stuff and cosplay as well. So yeah, this looks like it's going to be really awesome.
Yeah, definitely. It's a really awesome idea. And I'm glad that they've put that together for people, because I think it is lovely to have these big online community global events. And I hope that when the world does start to return to normal, then perhaps some of these online elements will be included in events moving forward so that people can share them a bit more globally.
Yeah, that would be great. I like the fact that they're big sort of global online things as well. I mean, even if they do the events somewhere in real life as well, I hope they continue with the online stuff, because you can only do this sort of event in one particular place. So even if they did do a DC Fan Dome event in New York or LA or something, I would hope that they keep the online one going in the same way as well. That would be great, because everybody gets to experience it in the same way as well. Just some people will be there in person. So that's definitely something to look forward to. There was one other thing, of course, that happened this week. We lost Ian Holm, the lovely actor who played Ash in Alien. He was in The Fifth Element. He was in Ratatouille as well. And of course, most beloved for playing Bilbo Baggins in Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. He was 88 years old. I know he'd been in fairly ill health for a while, to the extent of he couldn't actually travel when they filmed The Hobbit, and they actually flew bits of The Hobbit set to the UK from New Zealand to film his bits and then flew them back out again, so he didn't have to travel. So they took the set to him instead, which I thought was wonderful. I'm very sad to see him go, and seemed like he was an absolutely lovely guy. Just before we go into the TV and film news, had a little clip which I thought was appropriate.
I thought up an ending for my book. And he lived happily ever after, to the end of his days.
And I'm sure you will, my dear friend.
Goodbye, Gandalf.
Goodbye, dear Bilbo.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So, TV and film news this week. We kick off with the renewals, cancellations, and pickups, but this is somewhat expanded this week because we finally got to a point where all the US networks have pretty much renewed or cancelled all their shows. This usually happens early on in May, but because of the coronavirus and none of the upfronts where they announced all the new shows happened, this has been rather stretched out. So it's taken until now before all the cancellations came in. So we now have finally got through everything. There was a few new cancellations that happened this week. Bone Collector, I think we mentioned last week, that had been cancelled. There was Bluff City Law and Indebted and Perfect Harmony that were all cancelled on NBC as well. So those were the last ones we were kind of waiting for. Just running through the various different main five big US networks, there were some interesting ones, actually. I mean, CBS had, I think the weirdest one, actually, was Man With a Plan out of the CBS lot, which was Matt LeBlanc's series, which was four seasons in. And you kind of think, ex-Friends star, you're four seasons in already, and they decide to cancel it. I thought that was a bit weird. There was also an Eddie Falco drama called Tommy, which, you know, again, a big star, and that got canned. Over on ABC, we had Emergence, which we mentioned before. We know that's gone, which is a real shame, because did you watch any of that sci-fi show?
I haven't actually watched any of it, and it's been canned after one season, so now it's on my list of should I bother, does it have any kind of conclusion kind of a question mark now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm watching it weekly at the moment, and I've been enjoying it. I'm not sure whether it's going to have a conclusion to it, but I do want to kind of see the rest of it just to find out. The other thing that they cancelled was Schooled as well, which was a spin-off from the Goldbergs, I think. That was a surprise that got dropped, because it's got such a big name attached to it, you know. Over at Fox, there was a couple of things. There was a Jason Biggs fronted sitcom called Outmatched, and a Stephen Dorff procedural called Deputy, which got canned. CW, of course, cancelled absolutely nothing once again this year.
No, they only add things. They don't cancel things. Things may come to a conclusion, but there's no cancelling. just more things until everything on TV is mostly just made out of DC shows, I think.
That is sort of where they're heading at the moment. Because, of course, we've got the 100 coming to an end, Supernatural and Arrow finished this year, mm-hmm. but they haven't actually cancelled anything. They've just waited for shows to end naturally, and then they replace them with stuff. So that's great. Anything particular out of the cancellations you were sort of sorry to see go?
Well, I did want to watch Emergence, so that's probably on the list, just because now I don't know if it's worth starting. So that seems a bit of a shame. Like, sometimes these shows, sci-fi shows, they take too long to kind of get going and therefore just get cancelled too quick. And I think people need to start their shows with a bit more of a bang so that they'll get to keep going. We saw it with things like Dollhouse and stuff like that years ago, you know, started slightly too slow, got amazing just as it was cancelled. And I see that with quite a bit of sci-fi, which I find a little bit frustrating. But yeah, the rest of them were mostly shows that aren't really in my area due to their lack of spaceship. And so it doesn't affect me too much on that front.
Yeah, I mean, generally in the UK, we didn't do too badly this year. There was one or two things like the ABC shows. Yeah, I know there was people upset about Single Parents getting cancelled and Schooled, and obviously Emergence. But a lot of the shows that got canned were one season things that had never actually been picked up over here. So the UK skated over reasonably lightly with those. Renewals, CW not only didn't cancel anything, they basically renewed anything and renewed them back in January. So if everything, as we said on the CW, so all the Arrowverse shows, Riverdale, Roswell, New Mexico, all that sort of stuff.
Any of the Charmed reboot?
I have watched a bit of it, yes. Have you seen any of it?
I haven't. I'm wondering if I should or not, because part of the reason I liked the original was because it was basically very quickly realised it was nonsense and was very tongue-in-cheek.
I've only watched a few episodes of it. I mean, it's fine. I don't think it quite has the charm of the original.
I see what you did there.
I don't know, I think it was okay.
Lucifer's kind of taken up the mantle that Charmed had, being self-aware and silly, but also with, you know, some dark themes and magic and whatnot.
Yes, I don't think Charmed has made the leap to being self-aware yet, but I'd only seen, you know, four or five episodes of it, so it's difficult to judge really. I know there are some people that really like it, but I sort of watched a few episodes of it and other things got in the way and I never actually went back. So I don't know, it may be one that I go and look up again. Over at CBS, they renewed 18 shows in total, including things like Magnum PI, SWAT SEAL Team, all the NCISs, Blue Bloods, Bull, the FBI series, Evil, Young Sheldon obviously got renewed. So, yeah, I mean, there was a good selection. If you like your sort of procedurally things and that sort of stuff, there's, I mean, you know, CBS has really got you covered there. ABC picked up The Rookie, which was one that we were waiting for. Stumptown, that's all been renewed. Goldberg's Conners, Mixed-ish, Black-ish. They'd already renewed Good Doctor, Grey's, Station 19. They'd already been renewed. Fox renewed 911, 911 Lone Star, Prodigal Son, The Resident. All the animations have been renewed, like Bob's Burgers, Duncanville, Family Guy, Simpsons. And NBC, they'd already handed out these huge renewals, three-season renewals to This Is Us, New Amsterdam, all the Chicago's, Law & Order SVU, Brooklyn Nine-Nine was renewed back last year, so that's already been picked up, Superstore, Blacklist, Good Girls, Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist and Manifest were the last two to get picked up. But I'm extremely happy that Zoe's is coming back because it's such an incredible series.
Yeah, and, I need to try watching it based on just how much passion and enthusiasm you have for it. Even though I don't like musicals particularly, I'm tempted just based on how much you love that show.
Yeah, I mean, me and Matt absolutely adore this series, and I'm so happy that that got picked up again because it's wonderfully odd. I'm quite happy that Manifest got picked up. It's a fairly sort of run-of-the-mill sci-fi Lost light kind of thing, but it's enjoyable enough, you know, and I'm quite happy that they picked that back up again. It's good to have those slightly different shows out there. So yeah, I was happy those got picked up. Manifest was the last one out of the renewal. There are a couple of shows which are still MIA. Katie Keene, which is the CW series, and Council of Dads, which is an NBC series. Both of those we haven't got renewals or cancellations for yet, but they both started mid-season, so we wouldn't expect renewals or cancellations for them until later on. Anything particular out the renewals you were happy that came back?
Again, a lot of them aren't really ones in my area. I'm not adding very much to this bit of the conversation, am I? just back to the spaceships. Back to the spaceships.
Although they have all got renewed and stuff, there is a slight issue in that normally we would have a bunch of pilots and stuff shot by now, and we'd have clips and we'd have bits and pieces for new shows. There have been some pilot pickups, but up until pretty much this week, nothing has been shooting in Hollywood because of the coronavirus. Everything's been shut down, which causes a slight problem because it means that there has been something of a delay in what might happen in the rest of the year. So the full season, which would usually start about middle of September, the chances are that that is now not going to happen. So full season is likely not to be mid-September, and that of course has a knock-on effect that moves everything else back and also messes around with the schedule in the UK as well. So CW's solution to the full season problem of not having shows recorded was to move their full season to January. So basically all the shows that they've renewed, nothing new is going to start airing until January 2021. So that's their solution, was just to move all their new shows into January. So all the Arrowverse and all that sort of stuff is moving forward. What they've done is they've moved some of their summer shows into September. So things like The Outpost and Pandora, which are running on Sci-Fi over here, those shows are going to get moved into the September slot as new series. They've also picked up Dead Pixels, that great E4 comedy to air over there as well. So they've picked that up. But they are saying the final season of Supernatural, those last few episodes which they haven't filmed, they're going to try and film those towards the end of the summer, and they're going to put the rest of the episodes of Supernatural out. So that's good. They will be out sometime between September and December. CBS and NBC and ABC are actually taking a slightly different tack, and they're saying that their full seasons will go out pretty much as normal in most cases, although they are saying that their full season might be a bit more staggered and might end up being later than September. But basically what they're saying is there's a lot of procedurals that better film for CBS and NBC. And procedurals are a lot easier to film than something like a sci-fi because there's less visual effects and stuff. So their turnaround is a lot quicker. So they're basically saying that they think that they can get those out a lot faster. So even if they don't start filming until, say, early September, they can have stuff on air in mid-October, November. So they are saying that their full season will go out kind of as normal, but it will be a little bit later, quite possibly. They have moved a couple of shows around, a couple of shows which might be a bit more complicated to go air next year and have basically been pushed to mid-season, so around January 2021, but most of their procedural stuff is all going to be going out around about autumn. Fox have sort of done a mixture of both, and they've moved some of their shows to mid-season, but they're quite lucky in that, one, they have a bunch of animated shows, which obviously are already in production because they're animated. So Simpsons, Family Guy, Bob's Burgers, they're all going to air in the full season. They actually had a couple of new dramas which they'd already shot, one called Filthy Rich starring Kim Cattrall and one called Next, which was about an AI. Those are both already shot and in the can, so they're basically keeping those and they will launch in the autumn. That's how Fox is sort of handling it. Obviously in the UK that means that things like the Arrowverse won't be returning in September. They will have to find something else to fill that gap on Sky One. It's also possibly the reason that shows like SWAT and MacGyver haven't returned in the UK, because they kind of announced that they were coming back at the end of May and then they weren't, and then they were coming back in June and then they weren't. And we think what they've actually done is decided to hold them back for later in the year so they can cover over some of the gaps.
We used to have a lot of things on TV where they would just air the series before and then air the series as it came out. So I'm wondering if TV is going to go back to that, because we used to get a lot more repeats.
Yeah, we did.
And I think there is merit in, if a show is good, it has rewatchability. So I wonder if they'll dial back a couple of seasons and then just run through things to catch people up, which could be cool because it could bring a lot more people into shows.
Yeah, that is true.
And then the new seasons out for them when everyone can have their new seasons out. So I think it might be a nice way of doing that. Or they could just pull out like the original versions of anything they're about to run remakes for. I think that would be really fun.
Yeah, the other thing, of course, is there are a lot of these shows. As we mentioned, there were a bunch of things that got cancelled after one season. And there are also a bunch of shows which, you know, US shows that don't have a UK home. There are things like Evil, which haven't been picked up yet. And there are things like Prodigal Son, which haven't been picked up. Legacies, which is the spin-off from Vampire Diaries, which is in its like fourth season or something. Third season. It's been renewed for its third season, and that's not been picked up yet. There's a Million Little Things, which is a family drama. That's got two seasons already. That's not being picked up. There's In the Dark, which is a CW show, and that's not being picked up yet. The Nancy Drew series hasn't been picked up. So there's a whole bunch of stuff which haven't been picked up at all in the UK yet. So it's not like they're short of things that they could pick up as original shows and air over here. The only issue with that is if they don't want to then continue with them, they're sort of somewhat committed to buying the next seasons of them if they've been renewed for more seasons. The other option is you do pick up some of the shows which only ran for one season and use them to plug the gaps.
I think that would be good. Maybe some of those things that only had one season originally would suddenly gain a huge fan base and we'd see them getting very late delayed pickups for another season. Who knows? I think it's an opportunity though to put some interesting programming out that wouldn't normally get a chance to get aired again.
Yeah, I think it might be a way of giving a bit of extra life to some of those shows that look kind of interesting. We'll have to see what happens. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting end of autumn season over here while they scrabble around to find new things to be able to entertain people in the UK, I think. One show which did actually get a UK pickup, which hadn't been picked up so far, Stargirl, has been given a premiere date in the UK on Amazon Prime. That's coming on Friday the 21st of August. That's coming to Amazon Prime UK, which I'm very happy about because that looks like it could be quite a fun superhero series. It's technically, it's a DC Universe series, although it is made by Berlanti, and it is also now airing on the CW. So there is a possibility it will get roped into the Arrowverse crossovers, which is going to confuse things horrifically again.
At this point, I think that it's all timey-wimey and crossoveriness, and they might as well just throw every show into a crossover at this point.
Yeah, well, they kind of did that when they did the Crisis on Infinite Earth thing. They gave nods to various different things. Like, I think they showed a clip of Stargirl in there, and they showed the Titans. So they are kind of mixing them all together, even if they didn't have major parts to play. So there may be some more crossover stuff with them yet, but at the moment, don't know. So the fact that it's on a different channel over here might not be a huge problem, but we'll have to wait and see. In terms of new pilots that they have actually ordered in the US, they have got a couple of things that have been picked up. CW picked up that Kung Fu series, which we've been talked about, which is a remake of the old Kung Fu series, but with a female lead. We've talked many times about that, so I won't go into a huge amount of detail, but that is one coming. They've got Republic of Sarah as well, which sounds quite fun. It's a little town that is facing destruction at the hands of a greedy mining company, and a teacher uses an obscure cartographical loophole to declare it an independent nation, which I rather like the idea of. So it's called the Republic of Sarah, which
yeah. It looks like a fun little idea. I'm curious as to how many series you can get out of that idea, unless they are a very successful little republic and are very self-sustaining. But nevertheless, I like the fact they've picked something that's a bit quirky and a bit different as a jumping off point for a narrative.
Yes, I do like the sound of that. That's coming to the CW. The Superman and Lois series is the latest Arrowverse one that has been picked up, so that is coming. And Walker, which is the remake of Walker Texas Ranger starring Jared Padalecki, that is also being made for the CW, which I'm sure has a built-in fan base already.
It causes me confusion because, of course, it is a mix of something I very much like and something I very much am not fussed by.
Yes, I know. So there's that. Pilot's still in contention at the CW. That remake of The Lost Boys is still floating around. I wanted that one. Yeah, that is still in contention. They've done what they called, they've rolled that. So it means that it is still about, but it rolled onto the next sort of round of pickups. So it may still come sooner rather than later. We don't know. There is a political drama called Maverick, which is about set in a present day in America, which finds itself under an authoritarian rule. And it follows the president's daughter who goes off to university and then gets sort of involved in political activism, but on the opposite side to her father, essentially. Who knows? That could be interesting. There's the Green Arrow and the Canary series, which was the backdoor piloted thing from Arrow. That is still apparently floating around in contention. And the 100 prequel series is still floating around, which is set 97 years before the event of the original series.
Yeah, and you wonder why they didn't set it 100 years before, but I don't want to question that too much. Have you seen that backdoor pilot? Is that actually looking at the stuff in space, or is that still stuff on Earth? Is this the sci-fi series that just refuses to be in space still?
It is. It begins with the end as the nuclear apocalypse decimates the human population of Earth. It doesn't follow the group that goes into space. It's based around the survivors on the ground learning to cope with the dangerous world while fighting to create a new and better society from the ashes of what came before. So it's
so post-apocalyptic drama pretending to be sci-fi again.
Yes, basically.
God damn it. I'm sure fans of the 100 series will really, really enjoy it. But when the 100 started, I thought, oh my goodness, it's going to be so interesting, because I thought it was going to be 50-50, the people up in space and the people on the ground, and then it just wasn't.
Yeah, everybody ends up on the ground eventually. Yes.
Yeah.
I do enjoy that series. It's a fun drama, but yeah. I like the fact that they alter it every season as well. There are kind of quite major changes each season. So
yeah, they're willing to keep it fresh, and there's a lot of good actors and good faces in there.
Yeah. Don't know about the prequel to that. And again, the Green Arrow series, we don't know about that yet, but those are the still apparently in contention at the CW. So they're possibilities. NBC picked up a couple of things. One called Big Sky, which is from David E. Kelly, the guy behind Big Little Lies and a whole bunch of other things, which is a kind of procedural cop drama-y thing, although it would be much higher profile than that. You've got a thing called Call Your Mother, which is a sitcom. Again, I'm not massively interested in either of those. The ones that I am actually interested in on ABC, The Brides, which is a contemporary reimagining of Dracula, which is described as a vampire soap, and it follows the brides of Dracula who have kind of escaped him and gone out into the wider world. That sounds like it could be quite fun, I think. And it's a Berlanti production as well. There is 30-something Else, which is a sequel to the late 80s, early 90s series 30-something. There is an Erin Brockovich-style legal drama called Rebel, which is starring Katie Segal. And Triage, which is a medical drama from the guy behind Crazy Rich Asians and Eric Messer, who is one of the guys behind Criminal Minds, and follows a pioneering surgeon over three distinct decades at the same hospital, which is an interesting idea, I guess. I think The Brides, probably out of that, is maybe the one closest to being up your alley.
It could be fun. I'd be interested to see what direction that takes. If it just goes full soapy melodrama, it will probably drive me mad. If it's a bit more self-aware and it's on the more on the what we do in the shadows kind of side of things and poking fun at itself, then possibly. I think it's an interesting idea though, and not one I would have seen coming. So definitely have a look out for that.
The cast is quite good. It's Erin Richards, who was Barbara Keene on Gotham, and Gina Torres, of course, from Firefly and Suits, Catherine Reese, who was in Rise and Claws, and Goran Visnjic, who is perfect casting for Dracula. He's from ER and Timeless, and I think that was a role he was born to play, so I think that's a really good cast for that. So we'll have to see what it's like and if it gets picked up. And then again, that's a pilot that is in contention and not actually picked up yet, so we'll have to wait and see whether that makes it or not. Over on CBS, they picked up Clarice, which is a sort of sequel to Silence of the Lambs and fills in a time period 6 months after the event of Silence of the Lambs. It's from Alex Kurtzman and Jenny Lumet, who are two of the people behind Star Trek Discovery. Stars Rebecca Breeds, who was in Pretty Little Liars. I think she popped up in the originals as well. She was in one of the either originals or Vampire Diaries. I think the biggest problem, I think at the time I said when this was originally announced, the biggest problem with this is it's not Hannibal.
No, it's almost like they just had a possibly decent, good idea for a series and have just kind of attached it to a very famous license that I'm not sure it's actually going to work in its favour, because they are presumably going to be going for something with complex psychological profiling and looking at how her life evolves because of her being so closely connected to somebody like that. Mm. However, I just worry it's going to be overshadowed by the license rather than lifted up by it.
Yeah, that would be my problem. And also the fact that it's on, it's difficult because it's on CBS and it is clearly going to turn it into a CBS procedural, but then they did quite a good job with Sherlock. So, you know, I think it's heading into possibly that sort of space. And I don't know, it's difficult to tell.
It's we'll a wait and see with that one, yeah.
Yeah. Another license they picked up was their TV series of The Equalizer, which is starring Queen Latifah in the lead role. So it's sort of gender switched it from what traditionally has been the lead role of The Equalizer, which I'm perfectly happy with. It's got Chris Noth in it from The Good Wife and Sex and the City. He was Mr. Big in Sex and the City. This, I thought, was an interesting idea, maybe for a procedural that would also probably work, and gender switching the lead to somebody like Queen Latifah, that works perfectly well. I'm old enough to remember the original TV series with Edward Woodward, so
it's not a series I'm particularly fussed by either way. Again, I just feel like, again, that it's just something where they wanted to make a procedural, they wanted to have someone fairly kick-ass as the lead, they picked someone fairly kick-ass, they then got a license that was reasonably cheap to attach to it that had a decent name, because everything has to be called the something or other to be impactful. Yes. And it's presumably just as many of these things are mostly an in name only kind of thing, and I'm sure it'll be all right. She's definitely got stage presence, but I'm not particularly
not one of your sort of things. There is one comedy they picked up called Be Positive, which was the one and only pilot that was shot before the shutdown. Stars Thomas Middleditch, who you will know is the main lead from Silicon Valley, and Anna Lee Ashford, who was in Master of Sex. The whole premise evolves around a therapist and newly divorced dad who is facing with finding a kidney donor when he runs into Gina, a rough around the edges woman from his past who volunteers her kidney. Together they form an unlikely and life-affirming friendship as they begin a journey that is forever impact both of their lives. I mean, it's an interesting setup, I guess, for a comedy. I like Thomas Middleditch a lot. I think he's really funny. It's Chuck Lorre is the man behind it, who is the award-winning producer behind pretty much every major American comedy. So it's got a good team behind it. It's not a premise that particularly draws me in very much, but because of the star and because of who producing it, I think it's one that I may try and watch a few episodes of and see whether it's any good. Pilot's still in contention. There is one called Good Sam, which stars Sophia Bush as a heart surgeon who embraces her leadership role after a renowned and pompous boss falls into a coma. When he awakes, he wants to resume surgery. However, it falls to her to supervise this overbearing blowhard who never acknowledges her talents and also happens to be her father. So it's actually down as a drama, not a comedy, although I think this sounds like it could be very much in a dramedy kind of area. But the dad in this is played by Jason Isaacs, and I would watch Jason Isaacs in pretty much anything. So I'm kind of interested to see whether that gets picked up, but that's called Good Sam. There is a comedy called Jury Duty starring Megan Rath from Hawaii Five-O, which is about a bunch of jurors who are sequestered together until they all agree on a verdict and they can't even agree on lunch, which I think sounds like quite an interesting premise and quite fun for a comedy. There is a US version of Raised by Wolves and Ghosts, which are both US versions of the British TV show, and the United States of Elle, which is another Chuck Lorre comedy, which really didn't particularly interest me. Not many things that are sort of sci-fi on CBS, but then you don't really expect that from CBS. Over on NBC, they've got a new Law and Order called Law and Order Organized Crime, which sees the return of Christopher Maloney as Elliot Stabler, who is returning to the NYPD to battle organized crime, as the title suggests. I mean, if you're a fan of Law and Order, I'm sure that is one that you're going to love. There is a sitcom from Kenan Thompson. There is one of the new ones that I looked interesting called Mr. Mayor, which is from Tina Fey and Robert Carlock, who are the people behind 30 Rock. It stars Ted Danson as a wealthy businessman who runs for Los Angeles mayor for all the wrong reasons. Once he wins, he has to figure out what he stands for, gain the respect of his staff, and connect with his teenage daughter, all while controlling the coyote population. I love the sound of this purely because it's the guy from 30 Rock and it's Ted Danson, and after what he did with The Good Place, I'm all in for this. I think
it sounds like a good mix, that one.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be really good. The other one, which I'm very unsure about when I heard that they were making it, but the premise sounds really bizarre. It's called Young Rock, and as you would expect, it follows the formative years of Dwayne The Rock Johnson. There's no real explanation about exactly what this series is, but it is based around real life stories, and it sounds like it's going to be bookended by The Rock. So Dwayne Johnson is going to be there starting off telling these stories, and then they're going to have a young actor playing these stories out. So it's things like his life as a kid in Hawaii, getting arrested, getting into trouble, which apparently he did quite a lot of. He then gets evicted off the island and they all have to move to Nashville, Tennessee, where he also continued getting into trouble. It sounds like he just had a fascinating, weird, bizarre upbringing, and it's just going to be a bunch of stories telling that and recreations of that.
It's like somebody saw Everybody Hates Chris, which is Chris Rock, and then went, who else can we do this with? Rock. Rock. You know, I'm kind of intrigued by this because, like, The Rock is just so charismatic.
Yeah.
And every time you see him on screen, I've seen him on loads of panel shows and talk shows and stuff like that, because I am into, or very much was, still am a bit bit, but was into wrestling when I was younger and stuff. So, and he was always just this charismatic person. Obviously, then he went to Hollywood and just continued to just be just relentlessly charismatic at people. And yeah, I'm kind of intrigued by this, as I'm assuming it's going to be quite tongue-in-cheek and a sort of slightly dramedy version of his young life. I think that could be good fun.
Yeah, not the sort of show that I would usually watch, but it does sound like such a weird, based in reality kind of series that it's one that I may go and see.
It's got The Rock in it, so I'm probably going to see it because of
that. Exactly. What is most interesting with NBC are the things that they haven't picked up yet. They're really dragging their feet on their stuff. So they've got 12 shows still with pilot potential. A selection of them, though, include Landon, which is the TV series based around the Robert Landon novels, and stars Succession's Ashley Zuckerman in the lead role as Robert Landon. Again, only piloted at the moment, so we don't know whether that's going to get picked up, but it's essentially taking the Da Vinci Code stuff and turning it into a procedural, which, I mean, okay, fine. Again, it sounds like another one of these CBS type things of taking a license and turning it into procedural drama. They have got a couple of sci-fis, though. In fact, they've got three sci-fis which looked really interesting. One called La Brea, which sees a sinkhole open up in LA, separating a family with half of them falling into the hole and ending up in a primeval world.
So, Journey to the Center of the Earth, but not effectively.
Yes. So there's that, which I think sounds quite intriguing. There's a sci-fi called Echo, which sees people sent back into the bodies of victims to prevent crimes before they happen, which sounds somewhat a little bit like Travellers.
Well, it also just a tiny bit Quantum Leap with crime added.
Yeah, very much in that sort of area.
Like, you didn't want to quite remake either of those other things. Yeah. So they've just sort of done something slightly different.
Yes, it does sound like Quantum Leap or Travellers very much. And Debris, which is another sci-fi which follows two agents from different continents who are investigating a alien spaceship crash which has a mysterious effect on humankind. Apparently, not a huge amount to go on, but I mean, it's aliens, spaceships, and FBI. So, little bit X-Files, maybe? Possibly.
I'm wondering if it's going to go for the whole everything revolves around the twist kind of plot with the what is the effect on humans and why.
Yeah.
I feel it sort of gives that kind of vibe, but yeah, you can't tell from one sentence.
Yeah. They have got a few interesting sci-fis potentially in contention still there, so we'll see whether any of those get picked up. Lastly, over on Fox, they've definitely picked up Call Me Cat, which is essentially a remake of Miranda, the British TV series starring Mayim Bialik from Big Bang Theory, who I think is a perfect bit of casting for an American version of Miranda. I mean, that seems to work, I think. There's Housebroken, which is an animated comedy from Sharon Horgan, who is the person behind Catastrophe and Divorce. And I rather like the sound of this. Explores human dysfunction and neurosis through a group of neighborhood animals who live in the suburbs. This sounds brilliant. The voice cast includes Lisa Kudrow, Cleo DeVal from Veep and American Horror Story. Sharon Horgan is one of the voices, Will Fort, Tony Hale, a bunch of other people as well. So they've got a great voice cast for it. I love the idea that it's a bunch of dysfunctional animals that live in the suburbs. I think that sounds like it could be quite good fun as an animated series.
Yeah, reminds me, it's probably going to be a slightly friendlier version of, there was a puppet series that used to be on later on 4 called Pets, I think it was.
Yes.
So I'm guessing somewhere between that and your American animated comedies, which could be quite good fun. And I like the idea that it's not just, you know, the standard family unit being parodied that we have in quite a few animated series at the moment, and take it to a slightly more fourth-wall breaking almost idea where it's the pets looking in at the people.
Yeah, I like the idea of it. I think it sounds like it could be quite good fun. So that's definitely coming. Pilot's still in contention. There is a thing called Blood Relative, which is essentially a procedural, but using genealogy as the theme behind sort of finding the crime drama. It's a forensic genealogy themed crime drama starring Tate Donovan, apparently. So there's that. There's one called The Cleaning Lady, which stars Elodie Young from The Defenders. She's a Cambodian doctor who ends up going into hiding when the system fails her and she becomes an illegal immigrant and she ends up as a cleaning lady for the mob. And I can't quite figure out whether cleaning lady means cleaning lady or cleaning lady means cleans up crimes cleaning lady. I'm guessing it means cleans up murders and stuff for the mob. Interesting one. And there's a US remake of This Country, the British mockumentary series, which stars Sean William Scott as well. And there's a really bizarre idea, which is one about a new substitute teacher who finds herself helping three students with the impossibly ambitious project of making a shot-for-shot remake of The Goonies, which is such a weird thing. It hasn't got a title, that show, but that apparently is still in contention at Fox. It's
that
such a weird idea.
That sounds complicated to get greenlit for.
Yes, that is apparently still in contention there as well. That could be interesting. So that's all the pilot stuff. Anything particular leap out at you?
I think for me it's going to have to be Superman and Lois, obvious choice.
Yes.
And The Rock. It's just called The Rock now in my mind.
Yes, yes.
New
Young
show
Rock.
Which contains The Rock, Young Rock, yes. Whatever. It's got The Rock in it. I think that's probably going to be the things. But also Mr. Mayor sounds quite interesting as well.
Yes, those are definitely good picks. I'm kind of intrigued by some of the ones that they haven't yet picked up on NBC, some of those. And it worries me that there are sci-fis on NBC because they tend not to go down particularly well. But kind of interested by some of those. But yes, definitely Mr. Mayor, I think, is one that I would go for. I'm kind of intrigued to see Clarice and obviously Superman and Lois and Republic of Sarah, I think, looks interesting as well, out of the ones that we definitely know. So obviously don't know where they'll end up in the UK and when they'll end up in the UK, but those are ones that will either be turning up possibly in the autumn, more likely probably next year though, pretty much for most of those. One thing that is coming soon though, there was a trailer that Netflix released and a July premiere date for Warrior Nun, which comes from Simon Barry, who is the person behind Ghost Wars and Continuum. Ghost Wars didn't go down particularly well, but I thought Continuum was a great series. Based on a manga, do you know the manga for this? Because I don't.
It's American, so it's a sort of manga-inspired American comic book series, assuming it's the one I'm thinking of, which I've not read, but I have heard of. And in the vein of, we've had so many conversations where I've said, I didn't expect that to get picked up for an adaptation. This is definitely in that list because it's the subject matter, having a warrior nun in a slightly superhero type version of a nun's habit has caused both positive and negative reaction from all sides in its run. And I'm intrigued to see how they move forward with this one, because it is quite an unusual book, but it isn't one I've read myself.
The official strapline says Warrior Nun revolves around a 19-year-old woman who wakes up in a morgue with a new lease on life and a divine artifact embedded in her back. She discovers she is now part of an ancient order that has been tasked with fighting demons on earth, and powerful forces represent both heaven and hell want to find and control her. So that's the setup for it. I don't really know any of the cast. It's a Portuguese actress that is in, called Alba Baptista, is in the lead role as Eva. I honestly don't know most of the rest of the cast. They seem to be a sort of collection of Portuguese and American actresses and stuff, or actors and stuff. It is in English language as far as I'm aware, but yes, it sounds like an interesting one. There is a trailer up on the website for that, and it is landing on the 2nd of July, the first season of Warrior Nun, if you want to go and check that out on Netflix. So it's 10 episodes apparently, the first season. One to go and look out for.
Yeah, curious to see if they kind of go down the more slightly Buffy-esque route with it, or if they're going for the sort of more serious drama route and stuff like that. They've also slightly changed the main character's name, so I'm wondering how close it is going to run to those comics based on the difference I can see in the trailer to the comics as well. Curious.
Yeah, so Netflix has been really on it this week. There's a couple more trailers, well, another trailers and images and stuff. They also released a trailer for Cursed, which is the Arthurian legend series from Tom Wheeler and Frank Miller, which is centered around Nimue, played by Catherine Langford from 13 Reasons Why. She's a young woman with a mysterious gift who is destined to become the most powerful and tragic lady of the lake. So that's the lead lead they're actually taking this time. After her mother's death, she finds an unexpected partner in Arthur and a humble mercenary in a quest to find Merlin and deliver an ancient sword. Over the course of her journey, Nimue will become a symbol of courage and rebellion against the terrifying Red Paladins and their complicit King Uther. Cursed is a coming-of-age story whose themes are familiar to our own time. The obliteration of the natural world, religious terror, senseless war, and finding courage to lead in the face of the impossible. Catherine Langford in the lead. Gustav Skarsgård from Vikings and Westworld is playing Merlin. Devon Terrell, who was in Ophelia and the Professor, playing Arthur. Those are sort of some of the main lead cast. This sounds kind of interesting.
It's intriguing because it's not a story I've ever seen explored very much. So I do see some potential in that. And we don't see a huge amount based around the sort of Arthurian legends on TV and the big screen at the moment. So yeah, I think there's an interesting niche that they can fill there.
That's called Cursed, and that's landing on Netflix on the 17th of July. And there is a trailer for that up on the website if you want to go and catch that. And the other thing is Umbrella Academy. They released some first look photos, and more importantly, they released a synopsis for the first time, an official synopsis of the series. So Umbrella Academy, which I know we both absolutely love. Five warned his family so many times that using powers to escape from Vanya's 2019 apocalypse was risky. Well, he was right. And the time jump scatters the siblings in time in and around Dallas, Texas, over a 3-year period, starting in 1960. Some, having been stuck in the past for years, have built lives and moved on. Certain they're the only ones who survived. Five is the last to land smack dab in the middle of a nuclear doomsday, which, spoiler alert, turns out is the result of the group's disruption of the timeline. Deja vu, anyone? Now the Umbrella Academy must find a way to reunite, figure out what caused doomsday, put a stop to it, and return to the present timeline and stop that other apocalypse, all while being hunted by a trio of ruthless Swedish assassins. But seriously, no pressure or anything. I think that sounds fantastic.
I love the first series, so yeah. I'm sold. I want this now.
Yeah, I think that sounds like it's going to be brilliant, brilliant fun. There's no trailers yet, but there are some photos up on the website. That the second season of Umbrella Academy is landing 31st of July. So yeah, Netflix got you covered throughout July for new things starting. Definitely worth looking out for. That's all the news for this week. We have a couple of highlights for next week on TV. So highlights for next week. There are only two things coming up next week. One of them is APB, which was a one-season show. It was one season and then cancelled. This is one of the things that I was talking about them picking up one-season cancelled shows and using them to fill gaps. Billionaire tech genius Gideon Reeves takes control of Chicago's troubled 13th precinct after his friend is brutally murdered and bleeds out in his arms. Can Gideon's new gadgets and toys turn things around for the local police? Comes from Matt Nix, who is the creator of Burn Notice. Only lasted one season, but it sounded like kind of an interesting premise. So just be aware that you're not going to see more of it if you watch this. But 24th of June at 9 p.m. on Fox, that starts. And then Dark, which is the German language horror drama, that is coming back for its third and final season. That is on the 27th of June on Netflix. So that's all the stuff we've got for this week. You are very busy on your streaming these days. Where can they find you? When can they find you?
You can find me as Trista Bytes, spelled B-Y-T-E-S, because I thought I was being funny with a pun, over on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm also on YouTube, and I'm streaming 7 times a week, I think it is. Wow. Now, over on Twitch. So I do daytime streams to keep anyone who is furloughed or working from home or generally stuck in company, where we talk about all kinds of geeky things, and we just basically go off on tangents about movies, TV series, comic books, and nostalgia as well. Lots of chat about 80s and 90s general shows, toys, cartoons, and things like that. And in the evening streams, we do the gameplay type stuff. And those Saturday Scream streams seem to now be a regular fixture for anyone that wants to watch me be utterly, utterly terrified for about 4 hours on a Saturday evening.
They are very good fun, those. Definitely, definitely worth going to watch. So along with Bex, you can go and find Matt over on entertainmenttalk.org, and he's got lots of podcasts over there for various various different shows, and he's got things releasing all the time, so worth going to check him out as well. For us, of course, you can go to geektown.co.uk throughout the week and see all the latest air date information. If you want to get in touch with your questions and comments, you can email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk, leave a message on the website post, find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, and on Instagram at geektownuk. That is everything. We shall see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
No, it's fine. We found her.
I've fallen in another one now.
Just sounds like he's laughing at you now.
He was laughing at me to start with. It's Echo the Dolphin. It's not Flipper.
Oh, dear.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.